Okay, you're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. It's my great pleasure to invite into our studios Frank Gilpin, also known as Paco Antonio, or Frank Paco Gilpin, the director of the Sol y Arena flamenco dance team here at New Mexico State University.
That's good.
And talking about a concert this weekend with the Sol y Arena and also the dance sport teams of New Mexico State. Welcome, Paco.
Thank you, Leora.
Great to have
Thanks
you here. All right, first, flamenco dance. One of the great dance forms of Spain where various parts of the body are used as rhythm instruments. Just tell us how you got into this and tell us about that tradition.
How I got into this? Well, I was studying dance at UNM, and I was doing a little bit of everything, a lot of ballroom, and then I started seeing I started hearing the music, and I think that in the voice, they said the cante, and I didn't even understand the words, but it would touch me like it was, you know, playing strings on my head or something like that. And so I decided to take a class, and I realized this is really hard. And so I had pursued it, and then started realizing this is my passion. You know, I'm going to discover some way to do this. And so I became part of a company, and then later on I decided I need to go to Spain. And I've been many times. And when I got over there, going to the different venues, seeing the events, working classes with masters, you know, who were sharing everything that they loved in this art form. Like you say, this thing really is centuries old. It stems from the verse, the cante. You know, the singers were the origin, and essentially singing about the plight of the gypsies who were disenfranchised and very different than nowadays with immigration. Oh, was that a joke? Anyway, sorry there, Leora. But, you know, I mean, same kind of thing, disenfranchised people, and they sang about their sorrow, their joy, their tragedies, and then they're rising out of that. And then we, as the dancer, are the vehicle for the voice. The guitar plays the tones, and we interreact, just like jazz. It's like boom, 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 there you go. They play, we answer, we change, we throw it back to them, and that's how it goes.
Is some of it improvised?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Now, you're not going to see that with our group because it would be difficult. Well, there is one piece that you might be able to see some. No, you will see some improvisation. But in general, when there's a group going, ensembles like ours, they have to stick and work together because they'll throw each other off if they don't. But there's one piece. It's called Ritual of Fire. And it's like women possessed by a night campfire or something like that. And they're have this interacting that is crazy. And there's several sections where all of a sudden they can take off for a couple eights and they're just going wild. So, and that's our last piece. I wish it were ending the show, but it's the last piece of ours. A dance board goes after us.
How many students are involved in Sol y Arena?
We have about 13. Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah, 13. There's the largest performance group will be 13. There's another with 11. We have 16, so there's three who kind of float around like that. And we also have apprentices from Alma D'Arte Charter High School. Yeah, where my wife, co-director Lucy Laney Thegos, is their artist in residence, and then she's adjunct here at NMSU and co-directs with me.
Uh-huh.
So
now these are dance majors. It's the Department of Dance and Kinesiology.
Kinesiology and Dance is the Department of College of Education, and our program is dance.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then all the ensembles fall in there as well.
All right. And we're also, this is a performance that's taking place Friday night at the Renfro Gym, recently renovated.
That's correct.
Renfro Gym, also with your dance sport teams. Tell us a little bit about the dance sport teams that are also going to be performing.
Okay. So they have A team and B team. And obviously A team's the more experienced and advanced, and then they start building with the B team. What they do is go to competitions twice a year. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yes, yeah. I do. Oh, and yeah. they've brought back
a
number of awards.
A lot of awards.
Yeah.
Well, they have a new director. His name is Ray Backlund. And he's actually going to be our directing coordinator next year. And he just realized what a job this is. But they're taking, after our show next week, they go to a competition. I think it's in Ohio. He'll probably spank me because I'm incorrect, but I think it was in Ohio. But anyway, they're in a competition, which is a very popular one, and he's looking forward to taking his dancers there.
Well, this is a good opportunity for a rehearsal in front of an audience, in
Thank
a sense.
Thank you. Yes. That's exactly
before
right.
Before the competition.
Exactly right.
All right, with Flamenco Dance. So I mentioned, you were telling about the roots of it kind of from an emotional almost and sociological perspective, but the use of hands clapping and feet stomping and using the body in such a direct way for rhythm. Where does that come from? How does that develop?
Well, you know, I mean, the sources of flamenco in a large way is Middle Eastern, East Indian, African. So you start thinking about the hand movement of the different dance styles in East India.
That's true.
You know, I mean, they're crazy.
Actually, there are some similar ones, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yes.
If you were to think about Bharatanatyam or Kathakali, those kinds of things, and then Middle Eastern. I mean, it's like belly dancing. A lot of the floreos, the flowers of the hands. That's what they call that right uh-huh. there, or muñecas, the wrists.
Uh huh.
You know, so those kinds of things, and they transferred.
Yeah,
know.
To Spain.
Yeah.
And where do you get your costumes from?
Very good question. We can't afford any. I'm joking. you know, it's interesting because we used to have somebody who would make them in El Paso, and they ended up turning into doing something else. And then we would try and get them from Spain, but they're really expensive. And then there's a pretty expensive sending fee. And so we ran into, my wife is from Brazil, and down in the state capital of her state is Paraná, and Curitiba is the capital there. We found somebody who builds costumes because they bring flamenco there. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a teacher, a maestra that we know really well, but they started making costumes half the price, and we have a beautiful collection.
Isn't it interesting that a dance form that started with the disenfranchised and the totally impoverished has become one that a university dance team or any dance team has to struggle just to afford the costumes, which are so colorful and beautiful with
yeah,
all the...
they're vibrant with the ruffles and the,
yeah.
and the
underneath,
different layers.
Colors
exactly,
underneath.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And so it really is like a flower unfolding.
Yes.
All right. When you're setting up to do a concert like this, how do you start? With music? Do you start by picking a piece of music you want and then begin to choreograph?
This is a challenge that I'm going to explain, because normally in most places where I was when I was at UNM, I never used recorded music. They had guitarists and singers,
uh-huh.
right? And so you walk into the room, there's one guitarist who's teaching to the right of them. They're all just looking over their shoulder and picking it up. Sometimes two singers in there, one who's directing and then the other two are students. And then, so everybody gets to see the process. When we came down here, we hardly have those resources here. We have one guitarist that we can use from time to time, Jacob Mossman. He plays. Have you ever been to Flamenco Friday? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of it.
Okay, well, Jake is the one who really instigated that. And he's been a longtime friend and associate of ours. And he can't take flamenco on as a full-time job because he's got a wife and raising two kids. And so he's a very, very prominent realtor here. I guess that would be similar to flamenco dance. yeah, gypsies and all that. But anyway, what happens is we start finding, because of the forms, right? I mean, there's what they call 50 palos. And palos are the forms of it, and they're either in a 6-8, a 3-4, a 4-4 kind of a thing. So there's 12 count, it's in a rhythm, and there's eights. And so we try to master about 10 of them. And so what we try to do is be comprehensive and work our way through the whole spectrum. Some of them are fun and light, and some of them are dark and heavy. And so that's what you do. You want to try to make sure that the dancers understand all of those, are able to perform it, perhaps choreograph it, and be able to teach it when they go into their own profession. So,
Do these students, so the course of a year, let's say, you're going to be teaching all of those different rhythms.
Yeah, and it takes a bit longer than that.
Okay, four years.
It takes them focusing. Now, fortunately for us, because my wife started teaching at Alma d'Arte, she started getting 9th graders, 10th graders, 11th graders, 12th graders, and they would focus. And then they come to NMSU. So we have them come in, and they have the footwork, which is very hard, very difficult. You did tap, so you understand about the different parts of the foot, articulations, and speeding, and slowing, and finishing, and those kinds of things like that. So it takes a while for them to get have the foundation to be able to do to dance their way all the way through one of these pieces.
Uh-huh.
So that's it. When you're working with them, you're building so many layers, their feet, and then it works into the upper body and the arms, and then please look where you need to go.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Focus and have the feeling that you're trying to express.
Yeah. So all those aspects are going on. There's not just the technical dance. There's drama.
No.
They're
That's
acting.
Correct.
Right.
That is correct.
Are there many flamenco programs or college level teams like this around the country?
Many, I would say no. There are some. When I was at UNM, I had heard that Northeastern Illinois had really one of the first ones. And there was a lady there. Her name was Dame, D-A-M-E, Libby Comico. And she won all kinds of international awards and everything. And I guess she was probably in place there in the 60s. And they have events happening there that are international. And she's probably the one who sprung board. And then West Coast definitely has it. East Coast, New York, Miami, and so like San Francisco, Los Angeles, loaded. And then now I'm seeing things, our students work their way out, and things are starting to build in other places.
Huh. Yeah. Now you're going to be taking your students on a trip.
That is correct. We have taken three previous groups. And
to Spain.
Yep. And they've all been Madrid, and it's the summer, and it's either been June or July. I prefer June because it's not 150. It's only 80. And that's when we're going this time.
And you go when it's 150 here.
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. Perfect. But what they do is called, this class is called an interactive research exploration in the arts through flamenco and Spanish dance. And so they go, and number one thing is classes, usually about 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, three of the 4 weeks that they're there.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they usually come back with a couple choreographies. Then probably second on the list is performances, and there's several giant programs that are happening. And so they can see in the places that are called tablaos, which is a nightclub, like our Flamenco Fridays. And then they have them in theaters. They have them in plazas outside and all around. It's just amazing. So we normally watch probably an average of three a week. And so they would see 12 shows. Then on top of that, we're doing all the intercity beautiful walks through architectural spots and doing that thing. Mm. Museum studies, you know, and then there's 20 international museums. And we go through probably about seven, in uh-huh. that thing there. Then we do day drive trips to Toledo and Segovia, and we're going to, I can't remember, the Alcara. Alcara is another one we haven't done, but we're going to do.
Wow, so this is an intensive 4 weeks.
That is correct. And they come back writing a 10-page minimum paper.
And this is the whole team, all your 13 students?
No, only we're going to have seven. You know, some can't make it. But
yeah. Wow.
The funding is a challenge, as you can imagine. We fund some of it, but they have to come up with money, too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Quick question. Tell us about your own background, because Frank Gilpin and Paco Antonio sound very different.
Okay, so this is how it goes. Well, in truth, I say when I was born, my mom, on the birth certificate, I was Francisco. and because she was a Sicilian, and normally my dad, there's eight kids in my family, he would mostly name, and he wasn't there when I was born, because it was 3:21 in the morning, and so he said he's Francisco. But when I was first starting to perform at UNM, when I was part of a group there, and I'd been dancing for about 4 years then, the guitarist says, ¿Qué nombre? ¿Qué? And I said, Francisco. And I said, Frank. Francisco. He goes, no, you're Paco.
Oh,
and it changed.
Okay.
So the guitarist changed my name. And
everybody
immediately took it. And there it is.
You've been Paco ever since.
That's correct.
Well, thank you, Paco. Frank Paco Gilpin, my guest today, the director of Sol y Arena Flamenco Dance Ensemble here at New Mexico State, performing this weekend, Friday night, 7:30 p.m., Saturday matinee, 2:30, and Saturday evening at 7:30, along with the dance sport teams. And it's at the Renfro Gym here on the NMSU campus.
Very good. Actually, we're calling it Hall now. The
Renfro Hall. That's good. That sounds a lot better. Renfro Hall. Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Leroy.